If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider leaving a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps me out a lot. Cheers.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Novel Analyst Podcast. My name's Jed Hearn and I'm author of the fantasy books Fires of the Dead and Across the Broken Stars. And today's episode is titled Master of Sorrows by Justin Call. Crafting compelling magic systems. And yes, there will be spoilers ahead, so if you haven't read Master of Sorrows, read that and then come back to this episode. Master of Sorrows is a subversive coming-of-age fantasy story about Anev, a young boy who, instead of being fated to become the hero, as is conventional in a lot of fantasy coming-of-age stories, is instead got a very different prophecy about him. A prophecy that he might instead become the Dark Lord. Master of Sorrows follows Anev's quest to become a fully-fledged member of this academy that hunts down magic users and brings back magic artifacts to this hidden castle place in these woods, which are mysterious and difficult to find. There's a lot of interesting aspects to this novel, which I read towards the end of last year. I interviewed Justin Call, the author of this book, and you can listen to that hour-long chat we had in one of the previous episodes. I will link to that in the show notes as well. But one of the things I wanted to go in depth with in this episode of the podcast is the magic systems, because Justin uses quite an interesting approach to his magic, which I think has a lot of alignment with how I consider magic systems in my own writing, and will hopefully give you some ideas as well if you are choosing to use magic systems in your writing as well. So there's many types of magic going on in Master of Sorrows. It is, after all, only the first book in what Justin is planning to be, ideally, I believe, a 12-book series. So I'm only going to be focusing and touching on some of the various magic systems in this episode, whichever ones illustrate my point the best. So the three main reasons why I particularly enjoyed the magic in Master of Sorrows can really be boiled down to the following, which I'll explain in more detail in a second. Number one, the magic is woven into the story. Number two, there's interesting limitations on the magic. And then lastly, number three, the magic comes with a price. So let's get into point number one. The magic is woven into the story. The book wears this pretty heavily on its sleeve. I'm going to read the first line from the blurb on the back of my copy here, and you'll be able to see how the magic is an intrinsic part of the narrative. Quote, "The Academy of Chambalau has stood against magic for centuries." End quote. Okay, it's pretty obvious that magic is going to be a big part of this story, and that might seem an obvious point, but I think it's worthwhile remembering, because as fantasy authors, it can be super tempting to just put magic in our stories because we love magic, and it's cool, and it's a fun extra element. That's fine. That can work really well in some stories, but it's worthwhile considering whether the magic is an intrinsic part of your world. Is it woven into the fabric of your story? Let's say, to give a random example here, that your story is about people who are weaving cloths. They like create tapestries, and it's set in, let's say, you know, an analog to 800s England. Then you randomly just have dragons that are just sometimes in the background of it. That could actually be kind of cool. I can see how this could spin out into an interesting story here, but the dragons aren't necessarily intrinsic to this idea of following characters who are weaving tapestries, right? Perhaps they're weaving tapestries about dragons, and then you get to start to have some of this interweaving between the elements, but for my money, there doesn't really seem to be a massive link between them. It just seems like the dragons have been included in this case because dragons are super cool. And I'm not saying that everything in your story has to sort of rigidly line up with each other. Sometimes it is really great to have stories where there are ragged edges, there are pieces that don't necessarily align, in the same way that ancient cities have, you know, roads that are super chaotic and winding, buildings that are made from different materials and are disjointed. That's totally cool, and it can definitely add to a lived-in feel in your story. But for me, I really like stories where the magic is interwoven into the narrative. So, to bring up and sort of plug a personal example here, in my novella Fires of the Dead, it began as a story specifically about the magic, specifically about the magic of pyromancy, where sorcerers draw energy from fires to project their own flames. So it could have quite easily just been a thin veneer that I coated on top of a regular story, but instead I made the magic an intrinsic part of the story. The characters in Fires of the Dead are trying to find this artifact which will boost, essentially, their ability to use pyromancy. It will boost their magic power. So even though it seems simplistic, by weaving it in like that, it really makes your story feel cohesive. And in Master of Sorrows, that's very much what's done. The whole story pretty much revolves around the idea of magic. In this world, to give you some context, people who are crippled or people who can use magic are viewed as basically sons and daughters of the evil god in this world. So the academy that Anev really desperately wants to get into and really desperately wants to become an avatar for, their job is basically to go around and hunt down magic users, hunt down magic artifacts, and stop the quote-unquote sons and daughters of Chaos, which is the evil god in this world, from doing bad things. Of course, this is massively complicated, as you would expect in a good subversive coming-of-age story, by the fact that a lot of good characters use magic in beneficial ways, and by the fact that a lot of bad characters use magic as well, but then sort of pretend that they don't use it because they want to act like they are not cursed by the evil god. So that's point number one. Magic should be ideally woven into your story so that it feels like not something that you've just added on for cool value, but something that is intrinsic to your narrative. Point number two. Magic is good when it has interesting limitations. So you're probably familiar with Gandalf of Lord of the Rings fame, and his magic is pretty cool to witness. But for my money, I dislike it a little bit more than some other magic systems, and I'm going to explain why before you start throwing tomatoes at me. So you never really know what Gandalf can do. He just sort of pulls out magic abilities whenever is a convenient time, often getting the party out of dangerous situations. Now, I'm all for awe and wonder in fantasy stories, and it definitely functions nicely in this case, but Gandalf's magic is very numinous, it's very ethereal, and you don't exactly know what it does, and as a result, sometimes it can feel a little bit like, dare I say it, cheating when he pulls out his magic to get the characters out of a dangerous situation. What Gandalf has is what's called soft magic, so this is magic where the rules aren't available to the reader. In Master of Sorrows, on the other hand, we have, for the most part, hard magic, the opposite of soft magic. Hard magic is where the readers know the rules. They know the laws of the game. As a result, it generally leads, for me, to more interesting conflicts and more interesting ways for characters to get out of those conflicts. Because when you know the rules going in, then the author can't cheat. They can't be like, oh, and then the magician summoned like a massive dragon to kill the army. If you know that the magician can only do a very specific certain set of actions and requires certain ingredients to do those actions, then the stakes and the suspense are going to be a lot higher because you know the same amount of information that the characters know. And you know that that means there's going to be a lot harder for magicians to easily extricate characters from tricky situations. A great example of this from Master of Sorrows, and an element which I thought functioned wonderfully on a couple of levels, was the wands. So, whenever you get into, you know, young boy coming of age at a magical hidden castle territory, you're probably thinking of one very famous story in particular. I'll let you guess what it is. Alright, you got your answer? Was it, drumroll please, Harry Potter? Because that's exactly what I was thinking when I realized that this story was essentially a magic training coming of age thing at a castle. Were you thinking that as well? Okay, I'm going to assume you were. I can't hear you on this, but you can message me on Twitter at Jed Hearn or on Instagram at Jed Hearn. Let me know if I got your answer correct. So what Justin Cole does, which I thought was genius, is that he has wands at this magic academy. So you're thinking, okay, well, that seems like a bit of a mistake. That's just reinforcing the links to Harry Potter. No. What it does is it does the opposite. Because instead of his wands being these ranged weapons which shoot spells over distance, like they do in the Harry Potter books, his wands, at least initially, are contact-only weapons. So there's a training exercise very early on in the book where the young apprentice avatars are all running around this maze-like structure inside the castle. It's an awesome scene. And they are armed with wands that paralyze your opponents when you touch them, just temporarily. And this creates a really interesting setup, because rather than these wands being ranged weapons as we are used to wands being, by making them contact-only weapons where you have to tap them against someone's skin to actually numb that part of the body, it instantly distinguishes the story, and particularly this type of magic, from other forms of wand-based magic we've seen in the past. Now, towards the end, there are wands that do get some ranged abilities, but by beginning with this very limited form of magic, not only does it distinguish this story from other similar stories with wands in it, but it also creates extra conflict and makes the characters work harder to solve problems. So that was number two in my list of three elements of great magic systems, magic that comes with interesting limitations built into it. And other interesting limitations you can do is, for instance, requiring that magic has some sort of fuel source, because then you have scarcity and then it's actually meaningful when a character starts doing the magic thing. Other things you could do is say that a character has to be in a certain mental state, which is a little bit fuzzier, because characters can sort of just, I guess, plow through fatigue in times of crisis when your restriction is mental state, at least in my experience. But those are some ideas that you can use in your own writing. So number three, the final element of what makes Master of Sorrow's magic so compelling is when the magic comes with a price. As I mentioned earlier, Master of Sorrows is set in this world where there is a lot of discrimination against magic. So in this world, if you can use magic, certain magic artifacts effectively, you are basically branded as the spawn of this demon, the spawn of this evil, chaotic god. So people don't really want to show that they can use magic. Magic is also shown to have a fairly corruptive capacity in this story. Particularly with other characters, you see magic overtaking their minds and turning them into almost demonic forms of themselves. With the exception of some low-level magic artifacts, like those wands of paralysis that I was mentioning earlier, a lot of the more powerful magical abilities and items in this story are very draining, physically and mentally and emotionally, for people to use them. And all of these consequences added into the magic system really create interesting limitations. I know when it comes to designing things, just to give a bit of context, my background is as an architecture student, and my current day job outside of writing is working as a playground designer. When you get limitations, rather than reducing the scope of your creativity, I always find that it makes it more creative, because now you've kind of got these boundaries that you have to be even more creative than normal to fit within while still creating something that's interesting. And that's what having prices and limitations and consequences for your magic achieves. Perhaps the biggest price for the magic in Master of Sorrows is shown towards the end of the book, where Anev demonstrates really strong magical abilities to repel this horde of demonic-like creatures that are attacking his town. And rather than him being held up as this savior and being praised by the townspeople, as would probably be the norm in a standard fantasy novel, he is essentially like kicked out of the town because the people are terrified of the magic. They think he's the spawn of the evil god, and you see that there's very strong social consequences to him using the magic. So to wrap up, of course there are way more elements of compelling magic systems, and I have really just scratched the surface, but what I wanted to do is just focus on a couple of small key elements and expand upon those points as a follow-up to that interview I did with Justin. So, to quickly recap my three elements of compelling magic systems that I saw in Master of Sorrows, the first was when the magic is woven into the story. It feels like it's part of the world. The second element was having interesting limitations. For example, in Master of Sorrows, the wands, instead of being these ranged gun-like weapons, only work if you tap them against your enemy. And then the last point, number three, was when the magic comes with a price. You add extra stakes, extra suspense, extra conflict, and hopefully a better story. And that's our episode. Thank you for listening to the Novel Analyst Podcast. If you haven't already checked out the interview I did with Justin, I cannot recommend it highly enough. Justin is a fantastic speaker, and what he is trying to achieve with his Silent Gods series of Witch Master of Sorrows is but book one of potentially 12 is quite staggering, and I think if you are an author looking to push the boundaries and write stuff that's subversive and fresh and new, and taking new spins on old material and old stories, you will really get a lot of knowledge out of the interview we had. So I will link to that in the show notes, or you can just scroll down a few podcast episodes earlier and check that out. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Oh, and one last thing before you go. My next fantasy novel, Across the Broken Stars, comes out very, very soon on February the 3rd. I will be putting up a brief episode on launch day, just to remind you that it is out. I'm very excited about it. The story is about Leon, a man with a secret. He was once an angel, a winged warrior sworn to protect Pyre, a realm where people live on discs that float in space. He failed. Now, Leon's a broken man, trying to forget the past. He thinks he's the last angel, but then a young fugitive scrambles onto Leon's doorstep, stumbles rather, onto Leon's doorstep. She's an angel too, and she has a riddle leading to a place where angels still live. Or so the stories claim. Desperate for redemption, Leon begins a perilous quest through myth and folklore. But will Leon and the fugitive find their legendary destination? Or will Leon lose his last chance for salvation? Brutal and gripping, this is a story about a flawed man's search for forgiveness. And it comes out February 3. It's been getting some amazing 5-star reviews over the last couple of days, and I am so excited to share it with you. I've been working on this for over 2 years, started writing it end of 2017, and I think if you enjoy Master of Sorrows, you'll really enjoy this. So, looking forward to sharing that with you. For now, I've been Jed Hearn, and this has been the Novel Analyst Podcast. Now go and write extraordinary stories. I'll see you next time.